This is Pat Loika, and you're listening to Loika Mania. How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Loika Mania, a special bonus episode of Loika Mania. It's been a while since we've chatted pro wrestling stuff, and you all know I like that. And you know another person that I have on that likes that. That's Antonio Cuneo, and he's back.
Hey, what's up?
And, of course, our special guest for today is Mr. Jason Quain. How's it going, Jason?
Excellent. Hello, Internet.
Yes. Today we got together because actually this wasn't even in the cards originally, but man, that pay-per-view from yesterday, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, that was just all kinds of awesome. And it was just one of the most phenomenal things I've seen from wrestling in literally at least a decade. I don't even
in
remember
years.
The last time. Yeah, I don't remember the last time I was wowed by a show and it, you know, there's two big ladder matches, there were two championship matches, and they were just fantastic. And even the little bonus match with Big Show and Mark Henry was actually pretty decent, considering they're just big guys that just throw their weight around. So we have Jason here because Jason was actually there at the arena. And he's the luckiest guy out of the three of us when it comes to that, because he was there. So, Jason, before we kind of get into the matches, how was the atmosphere like, you know, in the arena, like before the show, after the show? How was it over there?
It was pretty wild. There was quite a buzz throughout the building, you know, before the show started. A lot of people wearing punk shirts, but there was a decent faction of Cena fans there, which kind of surprised me. Older people too, not just like the little Jimmies and the little Jenny. So
little Jimmies, gotta love them.
And actually, the section I was sitting in, because I asked Antonio afterwards, we talked last night when I got back home, how did the crowd sound on the TV? And he said it sounded pretty much pro punk, because the section I was in seemed to be more towards Cena, so it seemed more balanced to me. But I guess the overwhelming sound out from the arena was pro-punk, but the crowd was going nuts. There was lots of punk chants just during other matches. Before the show started, when Cena's face appeared on the Titantron, when they did like the little intro they always do before the shows, people were just booing. It was amazing. It was like they just see a picture of him, they're booing. And I'm
like,
that's
music to my ears.
This is wild.
Yeah,
it was. I've been to a lot of Raws. I've been to, I think, at least six or seven Raws in Milwaukee and a pay-per-view in Milwaukee. And none of them can match the atmosphere that I felt last night. There was something special going on last night. A lot of people knew something was going to happen, and everybody was excited just to see, because this was one thing that we couldn't predict.
It felt like, just watching the show overall, it felt like a turning point for the company. You know, it felt like, you know, they're trying something different. I mean, just that ending alone, you never thought that they were gonna let Punk get away with that thing. I mean, there are a lot of people making predictions, thinking that, you know, actually, I think it should be fair to explain to the listeners what the concept of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view is. Basically, the pay-per-view has each of the WWE brands has a big ladder match comprised of eight people. And basically, they had to climb the ladder and take this briefcase, that unhook this briefcase that's like suspended over the ring. This briefcase grants the winner an instant title shot anytime, anywhere, you know, whatever the circumstances may be. They get a title shot once they cash that in. That's why it's called Money in the Bank, because it's a guaranteed title shot. So there were
it's kind of like a guaranteed title win, because every person who's cashed in Money in the Bank has actually become WWE or World Heavyweight Champion. There hasn't been someone who's lost it yet.
That's correct.
So far.
So far. Well, that's what I'm saying. So far.
Yeah, and then I was surprised. I was expecting that the Money in the Bank winner for
SmackDown?
For SmackDown or Raw. I was expecting that someone from Money, someone who won the briefcase is going to, you know, use it the end of the night if Punk wins. And then Punk loses it to someone. And, you know, you, even with that, you kind of have an intriguing story as it is, because now you'll have a storyline where Punk can come back as, like, this, you know, guy that got robbed, you know. But instead, they went with this route where they tried – someone attempted to cash in the Money in the Bank. That was Alberto Del Rio, who won the Raw match. And they didn't – well, there was no match. You know, and Punk got to get, you know, got to make his way through the crowd, and he, you know, he's still champ.
Yeah, because as soon as Del Rio came into the ring, Punk kicked him in the head, so he didn't lose his chance to cash in Money in the Bank, which is good.
Yeah,
good if you're a Del Rio fan.
Yeah, I'm a Del Rio fan. I like Del Rio.
So am I.
Don't care for him. He hasn't shown me anything yet.
I mean, my only complaint about him is that he kind of needs more sentences. he needs better promos, but he kind of showed that he's capable of more earlier today on Raw. But that, you know, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, so let's kind of go through like that first match, which was the SmackDown ladder match. And I should have the card up here somewhere, but basically it's eight. Eight men, including Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, Wade Barrett, Justin Gabriel, Heath Slater, Kane, and forget. I'm blanking a couple.
Sin Cara.
Sin Cara. Oh boy, that guy.
And who's the eighth guy?
I'm trying to remember the eighth guy right now. We'll get back to that. My memory is shot about this because I missed most of this match yesterday too, which kind of sucked because I was coming in from work. But Cody Rhodes, of course.
Cody Rhodes, Dr. Doom.
How can you forget that guy? Yeah.
How can we forget Dr. Doom?
Yeah. There are a lot of sick spots in this match, and lots of really cool wrestling spots as well, and particularly the. Sin Cara getting powerbombed through a ladder.
The destruction of Sin Cara.
And then
Sheamus friggin' murdered him.
I was really glad to see that Sheamus came off really well here, as well as Wade Barrett, because I like those two guys. And I think that they've been misused for a while, but I think they're kind of on the upswing right now, which is cool. It's nice to see that, you know, Barrett was like the last guy there before Daniel Bryan eventually won. The crowd was solidly behind Bryan, though. You could tell they were all into him. It's because, you know, Chicago is such a big wrestling city. You know, they know the wrestlers. They know the wrestling. So they were really rooting for the best guys in each match.
I was surprised that Daniel Bryan won, but he was my prediction. Like, he was my pick. I guess you could say, not my prediction, my pick. I was kind of predicting Sheamus, but on Twitter last night, I was like, all right, SmackDown Money in the Bank, I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan. And that was my long shot. And to see him win was just awesome.
Yeah, man, I've been such a big fan of his since his Ring of Honor days. And just, I was really disappointed by the way he was being used over the last year.
Yeah. Oh.
But now it looks like they figured out what they need to do, and I hope, you know, he picks up some momentum. I would love to see him and Christian go at it. I think that they'll have some kick-ass matches together.
I would say for Bryan, it was a very special night for him, because I imagine he did a lot of big shows in Chicago at Ring of Honor, you know, coming up, and then you could just, I don't know, I could see the emotion on his face. He seemed really excited about it.
Yeah, he was really intense.
That shocked me. I thought Sheamus or Wade were walking out with that.
Yeah, and then at the same time, I was filled with dread because when he won, I was like, oh my god, he's gonna cash it against Punk tonight, and he's gonna lose because one of the popular predictions was that, you know, both of the Money in the Bank winners are gonna cash their briefcases tonight.
Okay,
that night. It kind of worked out the way I thought it would, but, you know, they only used one of them, and it wasn't even a match.
I was actually surprised that no one came out and cashed in on Christian last night, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves a little bit. But you know what? Since I think they mentioned on the show that each, like, the SmackDown one was the briefcase was only for the championship on SmackDown, and the Raw one is only for the WWE championship, which is on Raw, or, you know, not on Raw anymore. So I was thinking to myself, I was surprised that Daniel Bryan didn't come out and cash in on Christian, but at the same time, I wasn't, because I feel as though Daniel Bryan is going to be, like, the only other person besides RVD to cash in Money in the Bank and actually use it as a match instead of, like, all right, now I'm just going to win the title. I have a feeling that's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, that match was, again, really, really well put together. I think all of them, even the guys who were kind of green, like, you know, like Slater and Gabriel, they did
that
pretty
Gabriel,
good.
Gabriel off the 450 off the ladder.
Oh, that was awesome.
I thought he was going to bust his ass because that ladder was not holding up at all. When he was jumping on it before just to make sure it was sturdy, and it looked like that thing was going to slip right out from under him.
Man,
I thought he was going to die.
Man, speaking of die, though, Sin Cara.
he got murdered.
He got murdered by Sheamus. And the thing that...
Like,
go ahead. I was going to say, and when you find out what really happened, why they took him out of the match, is that apparently he had there's a violation to the wellness policy.
And yeah, anabolic steroids.
Steroids. He's been suspended for a month. What a horrible way to go.
I know. Oh, my God. Like when he got slammed through the ladder, I legit thought, number one, that he was injured, and number two, that he was going to die, because he sold so well. Like, he was having convulsions right in front of the announce team. Like, his arm was shaking, and he sold it really well, because I thought he was dead. I thought he was legit dead, but I remember last night being on Twitter, and I was like, oh, Triple H told Sheamus to go and kill Sin Cara.
That was a good one.
Yeah, man, that poor guy. We'll see. I wonder if they even bring him back at this point, because, you know, his run so far has been a disaster.
I can say one thing why they'd want to bring him back.
Why?
At the merch table, when I was buying that really cool Punk shirt that they had out, the Rey Mysterio mask is gone now, and the Sin Cara mask is there for $60.
Are you serious? $60 for that mask?
Yep.
No, thank you.
That's what I said to him, too.
people buy that, though. For some reason, people buy it.
You can't blame people sometimes, though. You know, they're into what they're into, but I can't justify spending $60 on that thing. If that was like a metal mask, like a freaking Cobra Commander mask or something, I might go for it. But not for Sin Cara. No. Not for him.
Just to give a little insight, I'm not talking. It's not like those Halloween plastic masks. It seems like it's made out of like faux leather or something. So there's.
It's like a luchador mask. You know?
Luchador mask.
Yeah.
Nicely crafted, you know, but you can get those at probably on a wrestling website or whatever. 30 or less.
Yeah, but it's not my thing. Speaking of not my thing, the next match is really not anyone's thing. It was a Divas match, and we can just skip that because it was pretty bad.
I'll say this.
I do
the
like
Divas.
The Bellas, and I was disappointed. Brie, I think it was, didn't win, but
I would have preferred them too, but in the end, really, they really didn't have. None of them have any. Like, none of them, not even Kelly, has a presence. You know, they're terrible on the mic.
She doesn't even run ropes.
She can't run the ropes. She's terrible.
I noticed that live. I was like, she barely bounced off it. And I'm like, okay, you guys got to end this match quick.
Yeah, well, thankfully.
Dude, like, as soon as they started coming out while I was watching the pay-per-view last night, I was like, all right, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I come back, the match is over.
And you can always be thankful that it's like that, you know?
Yeah.
We'll move to the next one, which I kind of enjoyed. Mark Henry versus The Big Show. And I was never a big Mark Henry fan. But then every now and then they would try to push the guy and, you know, bring him out some monster heel. And he was really successful this time around. This run that he's going through right now It's pretty phenomenal for that guy. And considering how long that guy has been in the company for at least a decade now, it's nice to see that he's doing well with it. He was just lifting the Big Show like he was nothing. And the dude was selling, too. Like, in the earlier parts of the match, when Big Show had offense,
yeah,
he was selling like crazy. And like, the man that size selling and taking bumps like that, pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, he drop-kicked the steel staircase into Big Show's knees. I was like, I've never seen Mark Henry do a dropkick. I mean, you know, it was like a 5-inch dropkick off the ground, but it was still a dropkick.
Yeah. What kind of annoyed me, or actually what I was hoping for, is that, you know, like I was hoping that the Big Show would reciprocate and do a dropkick of his own, because he used to do dropkicks.
Hell,
he did moonsaults back in the day. I want to see him do that against Henry.
He did do the Cena shoulder block tackle second rope. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, like, wow. And that is something I would not want to be in front of when I run into it.
No, that's
like a train.
Yeah. And yeah, they had a hell of a match.
Henry, I thought the finish was really good too. Yeah. Like it wasn't like, oh, one slam and, you know, Big Show's out. Like, he slammed him twice, and then he did the two splashes. Mm-hmm. You know, he did two splashes. It took a lot to put the Big Show away.
Yeah, and I thought both of them came off looking really good at the end. And I think Show's going to be out of commission for a bit. And, you know, his leg got re-injured, and I was disappointed that Kane didn't go out to help out his boyfriend and hold him by his hand.
Oh, say, man.
Show!
Dude, that was so funny when you texted me last night while the show. It's like, I was tweeting about that, and I was like, I know only one person is going to respond to this, and all of a sudden, oh, my phone's going off. Who is it? Oh, it's a text from Pat. I wonder what it is. Show! Somebody get some help!
Oh, man. And then, man, that poor guy, he's looked really vulnerable lately, though. So hopefully they do something with him when he comes back and kind of rebuild his heat. But then again, he's over regardless anyway, because he's just big, you know, and he's fairly athletic.
Big Show?
Big Show, yeah.
Well, he's face right now, so.
Well, yeah, I think he's like hurt. Him. I think he's hurt right now.
That's
they've been threatening to put him out, but I guess they haven't had the right chance to do it. And I think Mark Henry was credible enough, even though I'm still shocked that, you know, getting run over by a car was not enough to take him out for longer than 2 weeks.
You know what it is, though. Uh-huh. I just, you know, they just lost Big Show, and they just lost Sin Cara. Who else are they going to lose on SmackDown? How much longer are we going to see Randy Orton and Christian? I mean, like, they put on good matches, but the match from last night, I didn't think was as good as what they've done before.
Oh, yeah, because they've already done everything, and of course, they're trying to come up with something different for this last match, but, you know, it's not always going to work out. But in the end, though, it worked out. Now that you kind of mentioned that, though, let's kind of jump to that match real quick.
Okay.
Because that's, and then we'll get to the other Money in the Bank match. The Orton and Christian, I thought they told a really effective story.
They did.
You know, yeah, and they did a good job using, you know, I mean, you kind of can figure out what was going to happen the moment they told you that disqualifications will allow for a title change. You know, the moment they said that, you figure, okay, this is going to be some kind of screw job thing. But then the match actually took place, and it was still a good match. I mean, it's at least a 3-star match, in my opinion.
It was a very good match.
Yeah, and they were trading moves. They were all trying to come up with, they were upstaging each other, kicking out finishers and that sort of thing. And then you get to the end where they're both, Christian's just frustrated, and he just spat in Orton's face. At that point, you know, Orton just lost it. And I think the psychology of that ending was really good, I thought, because, you put Orton in a position where you kind of can't tell if the people were even going to cheer for him anymore, because he went nuts and he kind of went overboard beating up Christian. And then Christian, you know, he took full advantage of the rules, and he got what he wanted. You know, he's victorious, even right. without pinfall. I mean, he won because he basically outsmarted Orton. You know.
Yeah, I just to say one thing though about that match, it was a good match, and the ending, the finish, you know, though predictable but not completely predictable, was very effective in the story that they've been telling. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what, Christian has reached the point where it's like, you know what, I'm done being screwed over. I'm taking advantage of my situation. Mm-hmm. And he did. He pissed off Orton enough to get him to kick him in the balls,
yeah,
and DQ himself. And you know what? The attack afterwards by Orton, though warranted and made sense, was lessened by the fact that Orton was making those stupid faces after, like, RKOing Christian through the table or trying
to. Well, Antonio.
Sticking out his tongue, and it was just stupid.
Antonio, you have to realize that he hears voices in his head.
Just about to say that.
I'm surprised he didn't do that little jumping thing he did. Like that jumping.
Oh my god, that was awful.
That was awesome.
That was awful.
I want Orton to just randomly do stupid things because that'd be funny. He's just like, what's he doing? What's up?
He might hurt himself again though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Randy. I thought that ending was very much reminiscent of Dark Knight when, you know.
I'm actually going to watch.
It reminded me of Dark Knight Returns when Superman was fighting Batman, and in the end Batman won, even though he got beat up the most. Oh man.
Oh, Randy Orton.
You couldn't break the Spanish announce table, too, after two RKOs. What's up with that?
I don't know, but apparently the reason why he came back for the second one was, from what I heard, like, I was listening to the Wrestling Observer Radio, and Dave Meltzer mentioned that McMahon basically yelled at someone that told him, go back there and break that fucking table.
That's awesome.
And then it didn't work.
I don't think that the RKO is an effective finishing move to break the table. It's like, it worked with Triple H because he would do the pedigree, and it worked with The Rock because it was the Rock Bottom. Because, you know, the Rock's picking the guy up and slamming him on the table.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, when you do an RKO, the weight is spread around, you know?
Right, exactly.
Between the two ends of the table. Whereas the pedigree, you know, the knees land on the thing, and that's where all the force is coming in, and that's why it breaks. And
right, there's more force coming down, like, on a pedigree or, like, a Rock Bottom, or even, like, when Angle did the Angle Slam.
Yeah.
Or when Shawn Michaels did the moonsault during that Taker match. Yeah.
Man, I can't believe we're talking physics and the Spanish announcement.
Unless it's just
sometimes
like the guys.
Sometimes it comes down to that.
Yeah, this is the nerdiest wrestling discussion ever. And it's
unless, cool. Like, the guys at the Spanish announce table have just been sick and tired. And they build their own table and they reinforce it with, like, steel.
Yeah, they rigged it.
That table's been destroyed ever since I've been watching wrestling.
Yeah, it didn't feel right that it didn't break. But then again, you know, it was just you know, revenge of the announced team.
Actually, I think it was the fact that Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler's table was always getting broken that they put the Spanish announce table at ringside so that they can still have a table after the Spanish announce table. So they can the wrestlers could use the Spanish announce table to break instead of Jim Ross's table.
Or, you know, maybe, just maybe, they accidentally switched the tables. If someone landed on the regular announce team's table, I bet it would have broken. And maybe
possible. Conspiracy in Chicago. Heard it here first, folks. Right here.
And then that's unfortunate, though, because, you know, I wish someone broke Booker T's mic and headset, because, man.
He was terrible last night.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where Booker T's okay and he's listenable and he's fun, but, man, last night was not the night. You mentioned, you know, Jason, that, you know, the crowd was pretty partisan from where you were, but Bill Booker was talking about how there was, like, almost, he said, nobody's chanting for CM Punk right when people are chanting CM
Cena.
Nobody's chanting for Cena, but then people are chanting for Cena right at that moment. He says that.
And then Michael Cole's like, people are chanting for Cena right now. What are you talking about?
I love the antagonism between them, which is pretty funny, but I really miss Jim Ross. I think Jim Ross would have called a hell of a – he would have called that pay-per-view really well last night.
I was never a Jim Ross fan. But I will take him.
You disappoint me.
I know.
You disappoint me. My God! No. What's wrong with you?
No, I don't. You don't know how much I appreciate Jim Ross now that all we have is Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler.
And to be fair, Michael Cole's trying. You know, he's certainly better than he has been.
Trying, but you just don't
buy it when he says it. It feels like he's reading, you know, or it feels like he's being fed lines, which is apparently true for most.
Probably the case.
Yeah. Fed lines, they're telling him in his headset what to say, and he just can't sell it. Yeah. I mean, they told Jim Ross a lot of stuff to say. He could sell it though.
Yeah. You believe it. Jim Ross is very believable. He's very likable. Michael Cole comes across as a douchebag, you know.
Michael Cole is the John Cena of selling wrestling moves.
Oh, man. Then there's a time we'll get to that match in a bit. First, let's jump back to the matches. Then there's the Raw ladder match, which was amazing. And at the same time, I was scared shitless watching that match.
I love the beginning of that.
Where everyone grabbed the ladder?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I was really scared watching that match because there were many instances where I thought, oh, my God, someone is going to die while doing this. And thankfully, that wasn't the case. So I thought, you know, Miz was legit hurt when he did that.
So did I.
He fell.
So did I. And then I was swearing, and I think the little Jimmys might have heard me because my mom looked mad at me when I swore when Miz got hurt because I thought it was legit hurt.
It certainly looked that way, you know. I mean, it was a great sell. I mean, he might really be legit hurt, and he just went through it because, you know. God, you know, he's a
I think that's what it was because you could, like when he rolled out, and like I don't know it could have been him just selling, but like as soon as one of the doctors or whatever touched his knee, he's like, "Don't touch my damn knee!" Like he was legit in pain. So I don't think he was
either. He's a great actor, or he really got hurt.
No, I think he really got hurt. Because, like, even, I mean, he looks better now. Like, he looked better tonight on Raw. He was still limping, though, on Raw tonight.
Yep.
But when
that's
he.
That's a great sell.
Yeah, exactly. If he was is still selling or if he was legit hurt. Because but it did make for a great moment later in the match when he limped, ran down the stage. To try and grab the briefcase, I was like, oh my God, he's actually going to win it. So I thought that was fantastic.
Man, there's this one spot where everyone was at the top of the ladder.
That was really cool.
Everyone's reaching out. Everyone's trying to fight. That was just such a cool visual. And at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, this is not going to end well. This is not going to end well. Someone is going to die.
I was actually surprised that they've never done that before because I was like, it's kind of like, I don't know, like you can't really have it in any other kind of match.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's actually, it kind of reminded me of when it's like 17 guys trying to get Big Show or like a Mark Henry or like Kali in the Royal Rumble where they all just go after him.
Mm-hmm. Your old school, Yokozuna.
Yeah, there you go. and so, I don't know. It was just cool seeing that visual at the top because I was like, all right, it's the end game now. Everyone's there. And I don't know. It was just really cool. It was a cool spot.
The ending was pretty great as well. It basically boiled down to after you know, Miz makes a return and then he hobbled his way back to the ladder from the backstage area. He climbs the ladder. He gets so close and Ray took him out. And the first thing that I noticed about that is how loudly people were booing Ray. Holy crap! They were booing Ray.
A lot of the big faces really got booed in Chicago. I think a lot of people are just kind of fed
up. It's a very heel crowd.
Definitely.
Orton got booed. Bad.
Yeah, they were booing him because he was beating up Christian. They were cheering for Christian because they wanted him to win. But, you know, they got what they wanted. The same thing, I think that they started cheering for Orton again towards the end of that whole bit after he beat up Christian.
Yeah, there was a lot of chanting one more time for the second RKO. And I was like, really? Why do you guys want to see this again? I want to see Punk now. I've waited long enough tonight. Come on.
Back to that Raw match. After Miz got taken off that ladder, Rey was climbing up. Then Alberto Del Rio came up. They were both like fighting on the top of the ladder for a while, and then Alberto did something that I never thought I wasn't expecting at all. Rather,
I loved it.
And he pulled Rey's mask off, and Rey just hides his face, and he couldn't continue because he couldn't see he had to protect his face. And at the same time, that ladder was teetering. And you know it's going to fall, and it's not going to end well. And Alberto tried to stop the ladder from like toppling him, raise the ladder from toppling his ladder, and then it toppled his way anyway, and he fell. And then he just set the ladder back up, climbed up, and picked up the briefcase, and it was over. Hell of a match once again. There were a couple of really scary moments, like I mentioned earlier, like that bit with all of them up there. And then there's that bit where I think Kofi fell on Swagger. I think his knee landed on his chest or something. They were dangling from up above the ladders, and he just landed on him. That was just scary.
Evan Bourne's Jeff Hardy moment.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I was like, that was great.
That was an amazing airborne he pulled off.
And right before that, the double spot with Kofi and Ray at the same time coming off those turnbuckles. That was really cool to see too.
Yeah. And Truth had that thing with the ladder and Jack Swagger as well, where he turned kind of a seesaw move. I thought the only thing he missed, and then, he was positioning it, then he just jumped on it and wham, got Swagger.
Yeah, that's like a tradition in like ladder matches or like Money in the Bank matches. Mm-hmm. But it's always cool to see.
Yeah. I love that match. And it really put over how important that Money in the Bank briefcase is and that title shot is. They did a really good job putting over how important the titles are. Considering how crazy and how insanely dangerous particularly the Raw ladder match was, it really hammers the point home. Okay, yeah, it's important. They want to win this. It means something to them,
right? Especially with the Miz coming back from
after that injury,
that part. Mm-hmm. Like he limped, ran down the stage, and I was like, I can't. I honestly thought he was out. I didn't think he was going to come back.
Yeah, that was really phenomenal, and I applaud them for that match. Anyway, let's get to the main event. This is the one that everyone's talking about. CM Punk versus John Cena for the WWE title. First of all, when Punk came out, man, that crowd reaction when they finally saw him, it was unlike anything else. It rivals, some of the, like, I think the last time I heard it pop that crazy was when during the Hogan Rock match from WrestleMania 18.
I was just going to say that I don't remember hearing a pop on TV that big since it was revealed that The Rock was back at the WWE like a couple months ago, like before WrestleMania. Like, that was a huge pop. Yeah. That was pretty big for just like one individual. And the crowd, oh my God, they were loud as hell.
Yeah.
They loved Punk.
Punk was really great, and you got to see guys like Colt Cabana and Ace Steel at ringside.
Yeah, and Punk's mom. Crazy.
Yeah, that was insane. And it's just, wow, Colt Cabana was finally on WWE TV.
I know.
In the audience. It
took a while. You had to buy a ticket.
And he got the best seats, though. For all you know, he got those comped because he's Punk.
I'm sure.
Well, Colt talked about how he was Punk. Was invited him to his WrestleMania match. Like, because apparently, like, everyone's allowed to, like, give, like, I guess they reserve the front row seats or whatever for, like, the WWE wrestlers' families. So, like, if your family member or friend is wrestling, like, they'll bring you out and then for their match, then they leave and stuff. But, yeah, I'd just like to point out that Colt Cabana was on a WWE pay-per-view last night and Zack Ryder wasn't, which is a shame.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, it is a shame.
You'd know it. When Cena came out, he got tremendous heat from a crowd. And I, And at first, you know, anyone who was really for Cena were, you know, they got drowned out by the mob, man. They were all there. They're all just Punk, and you could tell. The match itself was pretty damn good. I would actually call that a 5-star match, even though, you know, there were a couple of spots that they botched. But you know what? It kind of nails the fact that they're both worn out and tired at that point of the match where they were both out of it.
I think that was like a 40-minute match. So.
Yeah, 40 minutes, and the announcers were not good. There's a point there.
I was not sorry I didn't hear any commentary during that pay-per-view. I think that made it more enjoyable for me. I didn't have to deal with Cole or Booker T or Lawler the whole night.
No arguments there.
Yeah.
There was a part there where Punk was putting on some kind of armbar on Cena, and Michael Cole was calling it the Anaconda Vice, but like the Anaconda Vice didn't happen until like almost 30 minutes into the match. That's it. It's so – I can't believe he doesn't know what he's talking about. And then he every now and then he would get the occasional move right. I'm like, wow, I'm surprised he actually knows what that is, because he actually called a fisherman suplex at one point. Yet I thought the announcing, they really lacked the any – I have no emotional attachment to what's going on because of them. I was more attached to the whole thing. I could mute the match and I could still feel the same way I felt watching the match, because I thought both Cena and the Punk were pretty phenomenal. At least, you know, you see the facial expressions, you see the way they move, you see how they were getting exhausted, and you saw how the looks on their faces when things don't work out as they planned. You know, there was something about the way the two handled things in the ring. And then when Vince and Laurinaitis came out, you kind of knew. The thought I had was like, oh my god, I can't believe they're gonna do this. I can only imagine how it felt when you're in, Jason, because you're probably thinking, oh god, don't let it end like this.
Yeah, pretty much. I saw those two come out, and I'm all like, I kind of held my breath, mm-hmm. and I was like, well, I'm not going to get upset till I see what happens. And then when I saw Cena clothesline Laurinaitis and yell at Vince, it's not going down this way, I'm like, oh, this is the perfect opportunity. Then Punk hits the GTS, everybody goes nuts. Ref counts to 3, oh, just eruption, you know? It was great.
And I
had no idea what Vince was saying on the headset when he ran and grabbed that headset off the thing, but it looked like he called out Del Rio or something.
Yeah, he called out Del Rio. He couldn't remember his name. He was like, call out, Del Rio. Right.
Get Del Rio out here.
Now, damn it.
I was like, well, here it is. Del Rio, be the champ.
Yeah, I really thought Del Rio was going to win it. And then, like, I realized, oh, he gets knocked out. And then next thing you know, boom, he just runs. And the bell had not rung. And then, and a credit where it's due, the announcers reminded that the bell had not yet been rung. So he hasn't really cashed it yet.
Yeah.
So every now and then, they're good for something over there in that announce table.
I gotta agree with you, Pat. I would call it a 5-star match, even though it wasn't 100% perfect. I think I would put it over the Triple H Undertaker match from WrestleMania this year, only because I liked the Triple H Hunter match, the Triple H Taker match, but I knew the Undertaker was gonna win, and yeah, there was a story there where it took everything the Undertaker had for him to win, but I was never. I never questioned the fact that Undertaker was going to lose. I knew he was going to win. So I wasn't emotionally involved in that match.
Yeah.
In this match, I was on the edge of my seat. I had my hands to my face, like, not praying, but I'm like, what the hell is going to happen right now? Because it can go so many ways. And, like, you know, when Vince came out, I'm like, damn it. Damn it. And then he was ringing for the bell. But then, you know, like, we went through this. Cena clothesline Laurinaitis, and Punk won.
It was, like, it was, I really couldn't.
I was heavily, like, the past few weeks with the whole Punk storyline has just completely made me invest in what's going on in wrestling right now. In a way that I haven't done in years.
I agree.
Like, I watched the Attitude Era days, and I loved those days. I stopped for a while because Triple H was just the constant. Triple H was John Cena before John Cena was John Cena, you know? And as much as I like Triple H, and I think he's a better wrestler than John Cena, I was sick of Triple H winning all the time.
Yeah, you got to have variety. You have to have other people. You have to give other people the shot as well, because you can't rely on that guy forever. I mean, when how many times did Triple H tear his quad and they had to rely on other people, you know? So
yeah.
They need to realize, they need to make other people, you know, they have to have other people be, you know, box office draws, you know, they have to be people that will get asses in seats. So
right, exactly.
And the direction they went last night by putting over guys like Del Rio and Daniel Bryan and even Mark Henry to an extent.
And Mark Henry,
And Christian, and Punk, all those guys aren't really the most proven guys as far as the WWE is concerned. But there they are. They all won their matches and it felt right.
But what happened last night was that these guys haven't proven themselves yet, but you know what? Now we're gonna give them the chance.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna prove it, because you know what, the John Cena drought needs to stop. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I don't hate, like I feel like Punk does mm-hmm. when he said that he doesn't hate John Cena. He's just
tired of
John Cena. Yeah, I'm tired of John Cena. I'm tired of John Cena. I want you know, like you see these guys. They're bringing you know, guys like Del Rio, guys like Ziggler, guys like Kofi, Daniel Bryan, Cody Rhodes, R-Truth.
Like,
yeah, these guys need to be pushed, because look, Triple H is gone. Like, let's face it, he'll come back for WrestleMania next year and have a match, but he's not wrestling anymore.
And he's done.
This is a
Yeah.
You know, he's done.
No.
You know,
about one match left in him, I would say.
Yeah, probably one more, but I would
Undertaker is gone. HBK is not coming back to wrestle, cuz if he does, what was the point of retirement and Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Or you know what, it doesn't even matter. Even if HBK comes back, it's not going to be for a long time.
I think
that's a big if.
I think he's too happy with his life as it is now, so I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, although, me too. Yeah. I think he's staying retired.
Yeah.
So they can't keep on relying on – like, no one wants to see John Cena versus Randy Orton again.
Oh, God, we had enough of that last year, please.
We had enough of that for the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, definitely.
No one wants to see that ever again. But at the same time, as much as I like the push that some of these guys are getting, I kind of don't want to see Dolph Ziggler and Kofi for the millionth time. I don't want to see Rey Mysterio and Alberto Del Rio for the millionth time. You have all this talent. Mix it up.
Yeah, I agree.
Mix it up.
And then hopefully, you know, again, it looks like there's a new direction going on here. I mean... You know, again, Punk won the title and he hasn't come back. And today's Raw, they decided to do a tournament for the new champion because, you know, they went all out with the storyline that they can't even mention CM Punk's name on TV, which is...
Yeah, that's great.
Which is a nice touch. Really cool.
Yeah, and it's very believable again, and I'm sold on it. And then they did, I guess, a sort of changing of the guard. They took Vince McMahon out of the picture.
And which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. They took Big McMahon out of the storylines, and he has been removed. And it makes sense because, you know, he is getting old, and you can't keep relying on that character anymore either, even though he's just an executive, you know.
Right,
I'm
going to
miss his gravelly voice.
I will miss it. I will miss the voice. I wouldn't mind having him announce again. You know, I miss his announce. I miss hearing him say, "What a maneuver!" and all that.
1-2-0, you almost got him.
I love the one maneuver. I like when Punk brought that up the other week. I thought that was great. But now Triple H has been given that new that role. And I think Triple H is more interesting that way too, because it's different from what he's been doing before. And now he's the crowd likes him, but you never know who's, you know, what side he's on, you know?
Besides the fact that it keeps Triple H in the picture and the minds of everyone else.
Yeah.
So, I already have a feeling that with the new position that Triple H is in on TV, that this is going to build up to a match with him and someone else, obviously. There's a WrestleMania match being built right now. Whether it could be Vince and Triple H eventually, you know.
I don't think Vince is going to do it anymore. He can't.
I don't think so either.
I hope not.
Yeah, no, I hope not either. I hope not too. But from that moment, I was like, all right, someone is going to butt heads with Triple H, and it's going to lead to a match at some point down the road. That I guarantee.
Stone Cold.
No, Stone Cold and Punk.
I want Stone Cold and Punk, exactly. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, definitely.
If Punk stays out of the limelight for a while, you know, they don't keep him on TV or whatever, yeah. I know he's going to re-sign WWE eventually.
I don't think they would let him go unless they actually have something planned out.
Right.
I'm assuming he's going to return as the uncrowned champion. Actually, the undefeated champion, because he still has the belt. I think he'll come back in a few months. I would assume he would come back at the Royal Rumble, maybe. That would be a perfect time for him to come back.
I don't know, because I have a feeling, or I don't know if it's a feeling or more of a wish, mm-hmm. because there's been a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of talk of Punk wanting to wrestle Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think that would be – the build to that match mm-hmm. would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
The promos between both of them. I mean, you got that sneak peek on Raw when Austin hosted a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And those, like, 3-4 minutes between Punk and Austin were, like, some of the best – was one of the best moments of Raw in a long time. So – to have that the build for that match would be epic, and how about a double, you know, like a double main event at WrestleMania 28? You got John Cena versus The Rock. You got CM Punk versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. I would buy that for those two matches.
The only thing I would say against that is then you're definitely putting over these special attraction matches over the title belts, which I think should always close a mania, no matter what.
Well, you know, I agree, and I know that the world title, the Rock and Cena is, Rock and Cena are going to be for the title.
I don't know. We'll see if it's going to be a title match though, because I don't know. There's all kinds of things working against Cena holding that belt by that point.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm actually glad that they went this way tonight on Raw with putting Vince McMahon out of the chair or whatever, out of the chairman position or being the boss. Because look, let's face it, we all knew that John Cena wasn't going to get fired.
Well, yeah, but they found
a good out. It was a good out. So Cena
exactly.
fired, yeah. And Vince didn't look weak because he didn't fire Cena, so.
And yeah. You got to retire the character, which was getting old anyway, you know?
Yep.
It was a nice shock moment, because I didn't see that coming at all going into the night.
And you know what? And we've all kind of said it already. It made sense. It made perfect sense.
Definitely.
I mean, they talk about how you know, McMahon's decision-making kind of was his downfall, and it's true, because he let Punk, he followed John Cena's wish anyway, and let him, you know, do that match with Punk, which, you know, which is what became the big problem to begin with. So he there's a lot of problems with his decision making, a lot of things he's done. So it worked perfectly.
And it was great that his line mm-hmm. came back to bite him in the ass. Mm-hmm. The Vince McMahon line of no man is bigger than the company. No one man is bigger than the company.
Yeah, I figured that was going to play out later on because he kept saying it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
and it's perfect. You know, it makes perfect sense, and I like it when the wrestling makes sense. I like it when the storylines make sense.
It just feels so weird to me right now because we've just had like a great pay per view, a couple great Raws, and then tonight was another great Raw. Yeah. I'm not used to having this much great wrestling in the span of such a short time. I'm scared the ball's going to get dropped quickly before SummerSlam, and we're going to be back to the same old John Cena winning, saluting, all that stuff.
I'm going to the Raw. Right after SummerSlam, so that should be interesting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, hopefully.
And I also want to say it was actually pretty smart on their play, the WWE's play, to postpone the WWE Championship match for Raw next week. Because you know what? I didn't want the match to be rushed. Okay. And I didn't want it to end in a shit way, and so they postponing the match, although kind of sucked, at least we have something to look forward to next week on Raw, besides the fact that, you know what, Ray and Miz took fucking hard bumps last night, so you know what, give them a week to you know rest up. And you know what? As much as I don't like Rey Mysterio, I know both those guys will put on a quality match.
Yeah, and so
we have that to look forward to.
Yeah,
I think it's a fresh matchup too. I can't remember anything in recent history of those two wrestling. So
yeah, that's true.
I agree. Okay, well, before we close up, where can people find you guys online, Antonio?
You know, Twitter. / Thwipstar, Thwipstar, and my blog, theshelfbyantonio.blogspot.com.
And we will link these, of course, in the show notes. And of course, Jason, where can people find you online?
Right now, I just got my Twitter account. I'm always tweeting during Raw. That's at Q Rockefeller, QROCFELLA.
All right. Again, we will be linking to that. And again, thanks for listening. Thanks to all the great reviews we've been getting on iTunes recently. It's much appreciated. Hope you guys enjoyed this particular episode because I'm having a good time talking about this because, you know, I'm not ashamed to be a wrestling fan because especially with the good product that's actually out there right now. Although I'm worried that like Jason here, I'm afraid that they'll drop the ball eventually. But
we'll just keep having faith, man. We'll just keep having faith, and hopefully we can just get better Raws and better Raws and better pay per views.
I think they need to do. They need to hire comic book writers to do wrestling shows. I think that'd be interesting.
That'd be something to say.
Brubaker congratulated Punk on Twitter for his win.
Talks to Punk, and even Bendis has talked to Punk apparently over the last few weeks. And I thought, wow, imagine if you get Brubaker to write wrestling. Everyone's going to get screwed over. It's going to be a noir, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Fedora hats and ties.
Well, there was that Azzarello wrestling comic. Jason, I remember you had that.
It's a Tangled Web. Azzarello and Raven wrote that. The pro wrestler Raven. It's about Crusher Hogan.
I was there at a Chicago Comic Book Convention when Jason got that signed by Azzarello.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah, a lot of really cool comics people who are so into wrestling, especially Jill Thompson. She is in love with that. Like she
designed Daniel Bryan's dagger.
Did you see? She made some signs that she brought to the pay-per-view. She was there too. Like she did a sign which is basically the ice cream bar, but with the drawing of CM Punk, and then she did a Daniel Bryan sign as well.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Unless there was two different ice cream signs, I did see that ice cream sandwich sign.
Did you see the one? I think she drew Punk like doing the go to sleep like. Pose, you know, with the.
This one was more of a classic, like WWF 80s pose.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Kind of just had the fist in the air and kind of like a boxer stance or something. So there must have been two different signs, but. Yeah,
probably a different one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for coming to the show.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. Anytime you want to talk wrestling.
Yeah, we will do this again. I think I want to try and do a wrestling episode once a month because it's been a while. Like we've been doing a lot of interviews with a lot of writers and artists recently, but I kind of want to scale back a bit on that and do equal time to my reviews and the wrestling stuff and of course the interviews, which we will have more of. Speaking of which, over the next couple of weeks, next episode will be post San Diego Comic Con episodes and a review of Captain America. And then after that, we will have Paul Cornell and a few other special guests over the next few weeks. So just tune in. Again, I appreciate the iTunes reviews. Keep them coming. And you can find me at twitter.com/PatLoika or on PatLoika.com for my personal blog. And, of course, the blog for this podcast at comicbooknoise.com/LoikaMania. Again, thanks for listening, and you guys take it easy.
Aside, this day is